Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast.
Greetings, good people of the planet Earth and the known universe. You're listening to GSMC's Television Podcast. This is Captain Keith. It's good to be back. I missed all of you. I really did. And got some stuff for you today. On deck today for the television podcast, we will discuss an Amazon original Prime movie called Gringo from Amazon Studios, starring David Oyelowo and Charlize Theron and Joel Edgerton, and a new TV series on CBS, believe it or not, called God Friended Me with Brandon Michael Hall. So yeah, we'll discuss both of those, most definitely. So let's get to it. All right. Gringo. I'm like, I had a brain freeze there for a second. Sorry about that, folks. Yeah, Gringo. So, like I said, this is an Amazon Studios original film. It's described as a dark comedy mixed with white-knuckle action and dramatic intrigue. Explores the battle of survival for businessman Harold Soyinka, who was played by David Oyelowo, if I'm saying his name right, when he finds himself crossing the line from law-abiding citizen to wanted criminal. So David Oyelowo, we'll say his name like that, also was in Selma. He played Dr. King, great actor. He is very funny. This is a different type of role for him. His character, Harold Soyinka, is a very mild-mannered, law-abiding, hard-working, humble man, and he's married to Bonnie Soyinka, played by Thandie Newton, and his boss is Richard Rusk, played by Joel Edgerton, and Charlize Theron, who's her character is Elaine Markinson. So Elaine Markinson and Richard Rusk are partners in this company, in this business that Harold works for. Harold's been kind of like the numbers guy, and he's been very close with Richard, you know, Richard Rusk. So Richard Rusk, you know, Joel Edgerton's character is just this very arrogant, macho, full of crap kind of guy. Thinks he's an alpha male. Really good at schmoozing and bullcrapping people. And he and Harold are close. Or so Harold thinks. And Elaine Markinson, played by Charlize Theron, you know, she's Richard's partner, and she's just a pretty arrogant woman who, you know, who's also in charge. And she's kind of dismissive of Harold, which is interesting. Now, Bonnie, Harold's wife, played by Thandie Newton, you don't see too much of her at first. She's his wife. He's very supportive of her. You find out when you watch the show that at one point she used to be very overweight, and somehow, you know, Harold stuck with her and she lost all that weight, and she wound up starting her own interior design business. And you find out throughout the movie that Harold's boss, Richard, who is Richard's, you know, Harold's good friend, is her only customer. So like, okay, I mean, that's nice. That's loyal. Right on. So Harold's on his way to work, and he hears from a coworker. Well, he hears from a friend of his, I believe it was Stu, played by Bashir Salahuddin, tells him that he heard through the grapevine that the company that Harold's working for is going to be selling the company to someone else. So, of course, if that happens, Harold could lose his job. There's no stability. So, there's more for this. I'm trying to figure out whether or not I want to read you more of the description of this film. Definitely want you to see the film, so I don't want to give away too much. But I will tell you this, though. I'm going to watch it again on Amazon Prime. I really enjoyed it. It was very funny. Like I said before, Stu tells Harold that he heard through the grapevine that Richard and Elaine are selling the company. And if that happens, you know, Harold could be in the, you know, left out in the cold. So when Harold comes into work and he's a few minutes late, Richard lets him have it. Then Harold comes into the office to apologize. And Richard's like, well, hey, you know, I have to make it look good because everyone knows you're my friend. So I can't make it look too easy on you. So, you know, Harold's like, okay, I get it. And so they're talking. And Harold's like, hey, I heard this rumor that you're selling the company. And of course, Richard has his look like almost kind of like a deer in the headlights. But he reassures Harold that that's not happening. Tells him a story about an ape and a banana and how everything is fine. And Harold should not, you know, basically not. So the story that Richard tells Harold to calm him down, he tells him there's this ape. There's these two apes and they're always getting fed these bananas. And one day, no, they're always getting fed. What do you say? Let me see if I said to say the story right. They're getting fed oranges. Oranges are peanuts. And one day, the trainer gives one of the apes a banana instead of the orange. So once the other ape sees that, he gets angry because he wants the banana too. I mean, he wants the orange as well. No, he wants the banana as well. I'm messing this up. Let me back up. Okay. Harold's boss, Richard Rusk, to reassure Harold that he's not selling the company, he tells him a story about two apes. Two apes are eating peanuts. The trainer gives them peanuts every day and they love it. One day the trainer decides to give one of them a banana and not the other. Other ape throws a fit, wants a banana, but he's still getting peanuts. So Richard tells Harold, you're not going to get the banana, man. Just settle for the peanuts. Everything's fine. That was the moral of the story. And that kind of confused Harold. Like, I don't get it. So, and then there's a whole like racial connotation that you're talking to this African man from a man from Nigeria about apes and bananas. So that was interesting too. And during that conversation, Richard's like, hey, who's Bonnie's only client? Bonnie wants to become an interior designer. Who's her only client? I am. He goes, so you know, I'm your friend, buddy. I got your back. Don't worry. Everything's fine. So he's reassuring Harold that everything's fine. But we find out later that everything's not fine. They have a business trip down to Mexico. And Harold, Elaine, and Richard have to go. Now, the movie opens. The movie opens up, actually, with a phone call in Richard's office. And Richard's basically busy having sex with Elaine. You don't know that right away, but you see him zip up his pants and he tells his secretary, didn't I tell you that when I'm in a meeting, don't disturb me? She goes, I'm sorry, but it's Harold. He goes, well, it's Harold. So he picks up the phone and you hear this yelling in the background, Richard, help me, something. They want money. They're going to kill me. Ah! So then Richard freaks out, like, what the heck? Elaine comes in the room and that's when you know that, you know, Richard and Elaine have been sleeping together. And that's what their meeting was, air quotes. Yes, folks, you can see my air quotes through the speakers. I'm doing it right now in the studio. So that's how the movie starts. And then it goes backwards. And then you see Harold leaving his wife in the morning, you know, giving her a kiss and meeting up with his buddy at the cafe, talking about his finances. And that's when Stu's like, look, he's like, Bonnie's spending way too much money, man. She's breaking you. You got to stop that. You're in the red. You don't have anything. And Harold doesn't want to believe that. He doesn't want to hear that because he's very supportive of his wife. Loves her a lot. So That's when he goes, that's when Stu tells him, hey, rumor is, rumor on the street, you know, Rich is selling the business. What you going to do? What are you going to do? So that's when you get the whole thing with Harold confronting Richard. Richard tells him the eight parable. That doesn't make sense. The next thing you know, they all go down to Mexico and have a meeting with the plant manager. So it's Elaine, played by Charlize Theron, Richard, played by Joel Edgerton, and Harold, played by David Oyelowo. We're going to say it that way. Oyelowo. I pray I said it right. Okay, so they're down there. When the foreman or the manager of the plant, you know, sees Harold, he's like, hey, he's smiling. He's all happy. Harold's talking to him. Harold brings him a gift, and they're like, good. So then he introduces, hey, this is my boss, Richard. You know, my boss is Richard and Elaine. So they're like, okay, well, thanks. He goes, thanks, Harold. We'll take it from here. So they kick Harold out of the office. Richard tells the plant foreman, you know, the Mexican plant, hey, I know we were doing business with certain people, but we can't do business with them anymore because we're selling the company and everything has to be above board. The federal government would be, you know, looking at us with scrutiny, so we can't do business with them anymore. We did it before. You got to let them know we can't do it anymore. He goes, I've tried to tell you, but, you know, this is the cartel. You can't do that. So, of course, Richard, being the so-called alpha male who's pompous and arrogant, he's like, look, man, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to skim with this cartel types, but we don't scare easily. Just let them know there's no more work. Either we're not doing business anymore. Just tell them. And just be done with it. So he's like, okay. And you can tell that the plant foreman was not looking forward to saying anything. He's kind of freaking out, like, I don't want to say anything. Like, not at all. So now, mind you, before that scene in Mexico where they're all down there, what I failed to mention to you was that there's a scene where you see Richard playing basketball with his teammates, you know, I mean, with his coworkers, you know, basically people who work for him, his subordinates. And Richard's fouling people. He's arrogant. And he's just a jerk on the court. You could tell this guy thinks his poop doesn't stink. And Harold doesn't say anything. He smiles. He's mild-mannered. He thinks he works hard. He's loyal to Richard. Richard be loyal to him. You know, in the ideal world, that sounds good, but, well. So, getting back to Mexico, Richard tells the plant foreman that. The plant foreman's like, okay. Richard walks out. He and Elena are like, that's solved. You know, Harold can't know because he'll freak out. You know how he is. They take Harold to dinner. And Harold suspects something's going on. But he's not quite sure. But he's just not feeling the love for Richard right now. So he fakes like he's going to the bathroom and he leaves his phone at the restaurant dinner table. He's got it on record. So it's recording Elaine and Richard's conversation. And, you know, Elaine's like, oh, that poor bastard. He just needs to be put out of his misery. I mean, literally. And Richard's like, no, man, we can't do that. No. He goes, but his wife, you know, she's great, but you should have seen her. She used to be a real porker back in the day, but she looks great now. So, you know, and they're like, oh, Richard, you know, Harold can't know about this deal. You know, I hate that, you know, hey, you know, you win some, you lose some. He's going to be out of a job. There's nothing I can do about it. It is what it is. So when when Harold comes back to the dinner table and everyone's talking, they order their dinner, he picks up the phone and you can say, oh, he recorded everything. So later on, he's in his hotel room and he listens and he hears everything that they said. That's when he knows they're full of crap. So now, you know, Harold has had all this trust for years in Richard. Now he finds out the guy who he thought was his best friend is someone he can't trust, who doesn't care about him at all, who's ready to stab him in the back. So now what does mild-mannered Harold do? You know, how can he get back at them? So that's a scenario, that's a situation that sets itself up. Now, mind you, remember I told you how at the beginning of the movie, they're getting a phone call from, oh, well, we talked about that. So I gave you the setup on Harold realizes that Elaine and Richard are full of crap and that they are selling the company. And he's in Mexico finding this information out. So now he's got to figure out what he's going to do. So remember how Richard told the plant manager to go tell the cartel they're not selling him anymore, you know, they're not doing any more business with him. So now this is cool because the cartel boss was very eccentric and interesting. definitely a gangster, but he's kind of obsessed with the Beatles. And we'll talk about that after this break.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
And once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith, and we're talking about the new Amazon original Prime Amazon studio film, Gringo, starring David Oyelowo, Joel Edgerton, and Charlize Theron. And by the way, Charlize Theron is actually a producer on this film. So as we said before, Richard, Harold's boss, has told the plant manager in Mexico that he needs to tell the cartel no more business. So now we see the plant manager at the cartel owner's home, at the cartel head's or cartel boss's home. And it's really crazy. So you can see that the guy is scared because he doesn't want to tell this dangerous criminal no. And why would you, right? So before they get into that conversation, the cartel boss looks at him. He's sitting behind his desk. He's like, hey, you like the Beatles? And the plant manager's like, yeah. What's your favorite album? Are you going to say Sgt. Pepper's? And the guy looks and he's scared and he thinks and he says, no. No. And I believe he says that he liked the White Album. He goes, okay. So he goes, well, I'm glad you, and he starts laughing. He goes, I'm glad you didn't say Sgt. Pepper's. Everybody says Sgt. Pepper's. So and then the plant manager's like, so I just came from my job and my boss says that he can't work with you anymore. He goes, oh, really? And let me see, you're afraid of your boss. He goes, yes. He goes, are you afraid of me? He's like, yes. So he goes, oh, so you're afraid of your boss? Your boss told you no. I get it. You know, he goes, you have a family. You know, you're working. You need the money. So he goes, yes. So he gets up and he has his guys hold the guy down, like on his back, or, you know, hold both his arms, and they cut off one of his toes. And he tells him, you should be more afraid of me. He goes, business will keep on going. And he's like, so where is this boss? And he's like, I just bring him here. I'll take care of it. He goes, who has access to the, you know, to the vault? He goes, bring me the boss. He goes, no, it's not him. It's Harold. Who's Harold? He goes, well, you know, he's a black guy. He goes, oh, okay. Well, it shouldn't be hard to find a black guy in Mexico. He says something to that effect. So, and after he cuts his toe and sends the guy on his way, and the guy's bleeding and crying and all that, but he's still alive, you know, he says, and by the way, the greatest Beatles album of all time is Let It Be. There. Let It Be. Not Sgt. Pepper's. And that was just kind of funny. It was cute and quirky that this cartel drug lord was totally into the Beatles and was like, was ready to like possibly even shoot you if you told him that you like Sgt. Pepper's, you know, as your favorite album. And yeah, that's considered like the best Beatles album of all time. And I got to tell you, I don't agree at all. You know, I'm not trying to side with the, you know, cartel drug lord, but in this case, I agree with him. It's not the best. I do like Let It Be, but my favorite Beatles albums are Revolver, The White Album, Abbey Road, Rubber Soul, and Magical Mystery Tour. And not necessarily in that order. My top two would probably be Magical Mystery Tour and the White Album. But all those albums I named are like phenomenal. Sgt. Pepper's is a good album, but the White Album, I still can't figure it out. The production is just amazing. And Magical Mystery Tour, flawless production. Okay, I'm done with that. I digress. All right, back to Gringo. I just had to share that with you. So that's what happened to the plant manager. You know, the plant manager was afraid he was going to get killed. Good news is he didn't get killed. Bad news is he lost a toe, a big toe. Not good. So now, mind you, also this characters in this movie, Amanda Seyfried plays Sunny. She's the girlfriend to Harry Treadaway, who plays Miles. Miles is an English bloke who teaches guitar lessons. And one of the girls, I think, who works at the guitar shop, or she's a customer, I'm not sure. You know, she flirts with Miles. Sunny doesn't like it, but she doesn't say too much. And the lady tells Miles, hey, you know, I got a job for you. It's going to make you more money than what you're doing here teaching guitar. And he's like, I'm not interested. I don't want to be a drug mule for you. And then she tells him, it's going to be like maybe 10 or 20 grand. So then he stops like, what? So he agrees to go down to Mexico, and he takes his girlfriend, Sunny, down there so he can be like a drug mule. He can get paid 10 to 20 grand. I can't remember if it was 10 grand or 20 grand, but it was somewhere in that range. So they're down there, and when they're down there, they cross paths with Harold by accident. They're all like in the same spot. So Harold sees them. Oh, they share the same hotel. So now, mind you, let's get back to Harold's revelation that Richard and Elaine are now on the up and up. These people he's been working for years, they're going to sell the company and leave him out, you know, flat broke. And he's got to take care of him and his wife. So he calls his wife and tells his wife what's going on with Richard and Elaine. And his wife tells him in a cryptic way, oh, I sent you an email. I can't say it to your face. He's like, what? He reads the email. You're leaving me? She's like, yeah. You're having an affair? Yeah, and you didn't even notice. So you find out that his wife, Bonnie Soyinka, has been having an affair, cheating on him. He's been supporting her, going broke, supporting her and her ambitions to be an interior decorator or designer, and she's been cheating on him. So I'm not going to tell you who it's with, but you know, the plot thickens. So Harold's on the verge of losing his job. The Mexicans are looking for him because they need his hands to open up the vault. And his wife is leaving him. So, and he's like, all my life I've been told to play the good guy. And this is how I get treated. My father told me, work hard, do well, and you'll be successful. Well, that might be how it used to be. Well, at least in this movie, I mean, it's very fascinating. It's a good story because, you know, you have to ask yourself, I mean, you sympathize with Harold. Everyone acts their butt off. Now, Thandie Newton playing Bonnie, I mean, you see her, we could have saw a little bit more of her. But Richard, you know, Joel Edgerton as Richard Rusk, he plays a jerk very well. Charlize Theron, she's always good at playing a jerk. She's very good at that. She did a good job, but she's got a good sense of humor because the role that she played was bad and funny at the same time. So, and I have to say she has a great sense of humor because she produced this film. So respect, you know, when you can make fun of yourself and pull off a great performance and put David as the lead of this movie was great because he did a great job. You know, basically an African immigrant in America trying to do right by his boss and his family, getting screwed over. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. And then, you know, Amanda Seyfried plays Sunny, the caring, understanding girlfriend. She doesn't understand that her boyfriend, Miles, is kind of doing some things he shouldn't be doing. He's been very, 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 kind of very, excuse me, very vague about what he's doing down there. She doesn't necessarily know that he's being like a drug mule. Or planning on being one so he can get some quick cash. So basically they all intersect. So like I told you earlier in the podcast, the beginning of the movie starts, like I said, with a phone call Harold makes to Richard back, you know, in the States. So you ask yourself, well, what's that about? What happened? So basically, Richard doesn't show up to leave Mexico Harold does not show up to leave Mexico with Richard and Elaine. He stays behind. You ask yourself why? Because he devises a plan. So, you know, he wants to make Richard and Elaine pay for just being jerks and betraying him. You know, all his loyal years of service, and they're stabbing him in the back so easily, you know, over money. Of course he's hurt. So Richard and Elaine leave without him. They go back to the States, and they just figure they're held to show up. And Richard sends one of Harold's comrades or colleagues, who's the chauffeur, to look for him. And they, so that's when you get that call, you know, from the beginning of the film where Harold sounds like he's being kidnapped and hurt. Well, you find out that when Harold finds at the hotel that he's staying at, the guys at the front desk, these two guys, the bellhops, they see him and he's like, you have any rooms? Like, yeah, we got a room. They take him up to you because you want to make some extra money? Like, sure. I need for you to yell at me in Spanish, say all kinds of mean things and be loud like you're hurting me. I mean, just yell at me. So then you see Harold making the phone call that you saw earlier in the movie to Richard, and he's over there yelling and screaming, and he's faking it. Ah, and he's hitting things, making noise, and they're saying all these things in Spanish that Richard can't understand. And they're looking at him like, why is he doing that? He's acting like we're hurting him and we're not, but hey, he's paying us, so what the hell, whatever. And he's like, he goes, Richard, help. You know, they want $5 million, something like that. It might have been less, but he ransomed like for a few million or something. He ransomed for a lot of money. So basically, Harold's trying to fake his own kidnapping in Mexico, but Richard and Elaine don't know it because he's so convincing over the phone. So, but now when you see the beginning of the film, you don't know that's going on. So that's the cool, clever part about the film, how it goes forward and backwards in that regard. So now, mind you, Harold doesn't know that the cartel's looking for him. He has no clue. All he knows is that the people that he trusted, from his bosses to his wife, have all betrayed him. So he's still trying to navigate what he's going to do with his life. And, you know, that's a good part of the plot. I mean, watching his character and what happens and the turns that happen next. So then, you know, Richard makes a phone call because now he's concerned about getting Harold back, but he doesn't want to pay a whole lot of money to do it. So I'll just say that to you guys, that I'll leave you with that in that regard. The questions you have to ask yourself with Gringo: can Harold really pull this off? Will the cartel find him? Are they going to kill him or chop off his hand to get to the vault? Will the sale go through? And who was Bonnie having an affair with? You know, and will Miles effectively be the drug mule that's needed to get that money? And will Sonny find out? So now, Amanda Seyfried, you know, she played Linda Lovelace in that movie that came out a few years ago. Great actress. I first was exposed to her off of Big Love with Bill Paxton, may he rest in peace. A great TV series on HBO, which was executive produced by Tom Hanks, about a Mormon. A guy who was a Mormon, got kicked out of his ranch by his father because he got too old, left the Mormon faith and came back to it. And he had three wives. Yes. And Amanda Seyfried played his daughter. She was great on that show. So you got to see, you know, the Mormon religion from a different viewpoint, and how, you know, there's Mormons who believe in plural marriages and there's Mormons who don't. And you got to see how that breakdown. Harry Treadaway, who plays Miles, he's the bad guy on Mr. Mercedes, the direct TV original television series from Stephen King's book, Mr. Mercedes. They're in the second season now. And man, is he a good psychopath. I'm glad he got this role in this movie. I didn't even know he was English until I heard his accent in this film. But he is sufficiently creepy on Mr. Mercedes. And if you like Stephen King, yeah, that's a gem from DirecTV off of their own original network called Audience. So if you have DirecTV Audience Network, that's their network for original programming. So So that's really good. Thandie Newton, she's been everywhere. Beloved, Mission Impossible, one of the Mission Impossible films. She's great on Westworld, won an Emmy for Westworld. I first saw her and had a big crush on her in a film called Flirting years ago. Great movie. So it is called Gringo on Amazon Prime. You should definitely check it out. You'll like it. It's an excellent, funny film. I'm going to watch it again. I liked it that much. I was really cracking up. And we'll get into God Friending Me after this break.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
And we're back. Once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. And now it's time to talk about a new TV series that started like 2 weeks ago. It's called God Friended Me. It's on CBS. And man, I'm looking forward to talking about this. I really am. I did not see this coming at all. It's been a pleasant surprise. So let me give you a brief synopsis of what the series is about. So Miles Finer is an outspoken atheist whose life is turned upside down when he receives a friend request on social media from God and unwittingly becomes an agent of change in the lives and destinies of others around him. After repeated pokes by God, Miles's curiosity takes over and he accepts the ultimate friend request and follows the signs to Kara Bloom, who is an online journalist. Brought together by the mysterious account, the two find themselves investigating God's friend suggestions and inadvertently helping others in need. Miles is set on getting to the bottom of what he believes is an elaborate hoax, but in the meantime, he'll play along and in the process change his life forever. That's a great description of the show. So that's the synopsis of it. So yeah, I mean, social media is such an important thing now in the modern world in 2018, the 21st century. It's a game changer. It's definitely an equalizer. There's good and bad, but that's life itself. But it all depends on how you use it. But this concept for a show, I like. I'll get into that in 1 second. So Miles is played by Brandon Michael Hall, who originally was on a TV series on ABC called The Mayor, where he was this rapper who jokingly or by a luck of chance became elected mayor of the small town. And everyone thought it was a joke, but he won the office of mayor. That was a good series. I enjoyed watching it on ABC, but they canceled it. I'm glad that CBS picked him up in this show. So I'm happy about that. And I believe it is, let me take a look at the casting here. 1 second. Violet Bean, who plays Kara Bloom, used to be on the TV series The Flash. So that's where I know her from. And she was great on that show. But she was from Earth, too. Another conversation in the DC universe, they have what's called the multiverse. In the multiverse, there's more than one Earth. There's all these, there's parallel worlds, excuse me, tongue twister there sometimes. Yeah, so they call it the multiverse. So there's Earth 1 up to like Earth 36 or whatever. So she came from Earth 2. And she played Jesse Quick, a speedster. But on this show, she plays a reporter. And she, you know, she was like his first friend request from God. So now what they don't tell you in that synopsis is that, yes, Miles is an adamant atheist. He has his own podcast show. And I'm guessing that he's not getting paid a whole lot of money. So he's looking to get picked up by a major investor for the podcast show. And when you watch him on the show, he's having these really, really great conversations about, you know, the meaning of life and God versus, you know, atheism. You know, he's very open to having a dialogue and conversation about God. So you find out, though, throughout this show, like even in the first episode, that Miles's father is a very well-known, established reverend. And he is played by the amazing, incomparable actor, Mr. Joe Morton, plays Arthur Finer. He was also Papa Pope on Scandal. And my first time ever seeing him was in an awesome science fiction weird film called Brother from Another Planet. He played an alien who never spoke. It was very interesting, very fascinating. I need to find that on DVD now. But yeah, so he plays Miles' dad. Their relationship's kind of strained. Miles used to go to church all the time. He doesn't. And you find out there's a reason, you know, that Miles has a backstory. And I'm going to encourage you to watch this pilot episode so you can find out what that backstory is. But yeah, his relationship with his dad is kind of strained. And he has a sister who's working, I think, on her doctorate degree or a PhD. But she also works at a bar. So, you know, she's kind of the bridge between Miles and you know, their dad, Arthur. So that's really cool. And Kara Bloom. So now when Miles gets his first request, he thinks it's a joke. It's like, okay, whatever. Then eventually he's like, okay, I'll bite. He gets it. He gets that first friend request, and it's for this gentleman. And I don't see his name in the credits right now. But it was a blonde haired gentleman. And when you first see him, he's having an argument with his girlfriend, or his girlfriend broke up with him apparently. And he's just really devastated. So Miles and him are on the subway. And Miles sees him, and then the guy sees the train coming, and he tries to walk right in front of the train because he wants to kill himself. And Miles stops him. And when Miles stops him, and the guy's name is John Dove, played by Christopher Redman. So when Miles stops him, you know, John looks at Miles and he says, "Thank you. I think you just saved my life." So, you know, that would usually, like, you know, freak me out, you know, if I got a friend request from God. First of all, that'd be totally cool. And that he sent me to somebody and I saved their life. You would think that would be enough to get Miles to believe. So it looks like God is, like, in this story, you know, I guess his challenge is getting Miles to believe again. So now, whether you're religious or not, what I like about this show is that, you know, it's basically about a lack of faith, finding faith, helping people, and seeing how, as human beings, we're all connected and how people hurt for different reasons. And like I said, whether you believe in God or not, you know, everyone should have a moral compass. So I'm not here to tell people they should believe or they shouldn't believe. That's not my job, you know, but I do believe that, you know, whether you are religious or spiritual or not, human beings all should have a moral compass of what is good and what is bad, what is wrong and what is right. So ideally, you know, you were taught that from your parents. But I like the show because you're going to see people from all walks of life, and they all have stories. And it's just a good reminder that everybody comes from something, and people need help. People need help. And, you know, Miles is so focused on, you know, getting his podcast picked up that he has kind of like tunnel vision sometimes. That's all he can see. And he doesn't realize that, you know, he can actually do some good. And that there's more to life than just a podcast. So what's cool about this show is that, you know, he's learning more about life, whether he realizes it or not. So the question will be, though, will he ever go back to church again? I mean, we can get to all that, too. So he saves John Dove, and that's cool. So his next friend request actually is Cara Bloom. So he meets her, he kind of comes off kind of creepy, like she doesn't know who he is. Like, hi, he doesn't know how to approach her. And, you know, I don't know. We don't really know Miles's dating background, if he's had a girlfriend recently or if he's kind of awkward around women or what. But, I like his character. He's very likable. I like his podcast because he's very natural when he's talking. And you can tell he's not someone who's just like, oh, you know, he's not this hard nose. You shouldn't believe in God. He's not shoving his belief down your throat. He's welcoming people to challenge him and talk to him about it. You know, he's all about having a dialogue. And he knows his dad doesn't listen to his podcast because his dad's a reverend. So it's like the exact opposite antithesis of who, you know, of what his father believes in. So that is that's how it starts off. And then, like I said, he winds up he meets Kara, it doesn't go well the first time. So then he kind of blows it off. And then, you know, God keeps sending him this friend request with her face on it. Now, mind you, Kara doesn't know that her face is being popped up on his phone. John Dove didn't know either. Once he saved John Dove accepted his friend request. So it's just really cool to see how many friends that Miles is going to have on his Facebook account. And when you see the God friend request, like there's this, you know, the heavens or the cloud and the sun is beaming down. And it's a really cool, like, portrait, like a photo you've seen in the gift card shop or in church somewhere, the photo everyone's kind of seen, but it's really cool to see on the cell phone and stuff. And, so we didn't talk about Miles' best friend. I'm going to give you his name. And his name is Rakesh, played by Suraj Sharma. And he's a hacker. So Miles is like, hey, man, you know, this person is saying he's God. You know, I need you to find the IP. I need to bust who this really is. You know, I got to find out who this Joker is. Because, you know, of course, Miles isn't believing this. So even though Miles saved somebody, he's not believing that this is God. That's what's so cool about this show. You know, it's like a battle of will. It's like this contest. You know, can God get this person to believe again? Can he have faith again? And, you know, it's just really, it's cool. Because like I said, because even if you don't look at it from that perspective, the fact that what happens is that he's saving people. Because then I ask myself, okay, so when, you know, God is giving him these friend requests, you know, it's because these people have been praying to him and he's sending them to Miles. You know, is Miles a prophet and he doesn't know it yet? And of course, you know, if that was said to Miles, he might run the whole other direction because he's just not ready to hear that. So it's very fascinating to see where the story goes. But I like the whole social media aspect of it. And then so Rakesh can track anything, and he tracks God down to Jersey, and they go to New Jersey and they don't find him. But I believe they may find Kara's apartment, actually. That's how he runs into Kara again. And eventually, he doesn't want to sound crazy because Kara's like, what's going on? And he's like, this is you, right? She goes, yeah, that's me, but I didn't see any of the requests. He goes, okay, someone named God did. And she's like, what? And then you find out that Kara is, she's this journalist, and she's had writer's block. And we're like, well, what's wrong? Why is she? Is it just because, or is there another reason for it? You know. So eventually, you know, she starts to open up to Miles. You know, and sometimes it's easy to open up to a stranger. Oh, so what happened? So they don't meet at Kara's place. Somehow, Kara winds up showing up at the same place Or she goes with Miles to the place in Jersey where Rakesh has tracked down God's IP address, or so he thinks. So they get there, and oh, so before that happens, like, because Miles is like, you know, I'm gonna leave Kara alone, whatever. I don't believe this. So was that was there interference in the studio, or was that in the second episode? I can't remember. Okay, so I can't remember, so I won't talk about that. But so Miles and Kara go to the apartment in Jersey. Rakesh is there with them, and they see this computer, and the computer shows this picture, and it's a picture of Miles's mom. And in that picture, Kara recognizes someone, and she sees it, and she gets uncomfortable, and she leaves. And we'll talk some more about that after this break.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And once again, we're back. You're listening to GSMC Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. And we're talking about Godfriended Me. So as I was telling you before, so Kara Bloom, she leaves the room once she sees this picture of Miles' mom. And Miles and Rakesh can't figure out why she left. So, you know, Miles starts to try to do some investigating, like, what's going on? Something must have hit a nerve. I don't know what it is. So he does some research. And he finds out that there was a woman in that picture with Miles' mom. It happened to be Kara's mom. So you find out that Kara's mom left her when she was very young. And that, you know, she's feeling some kind of way about it. So when Miles confronts her about it, she fesses up and she talks to him. And like I said, too, you know, the cool thing about this show is that, and about life, is like sometimes it's easier to open up to strangers or people you just meet than people you've known all your life. You know, that's kind of sad, but it's kind of true. It's not always, but, you know, that happens. So that's normal, I think. Yeah. So, you know, Kara tells Miles that, hey, basically, my mom left when I was young. I missed her, and now I came to New York, and I found her, and I see her every week, and I don't say anything. I don't know what to say to her. So Miles listens. He's like, wow. And Miles tells her, just talk to her. You don't have anything to lose. Just go. So, you know, Kara's like, she's at the park on the certain day every week, sitting on the bench. So Miles like, okay, well, that day we're going to go. So Miles goes to the park with her. Kara sees her mom on the bench. She goes to sit down. Miles motions for her to go, just go. And she sits down. And she, so mind you, she sat down next to her mom for weeks at a time without saying a word. And her mom couldn't recognize her because she hadn't seen her daughter since she was a little girl. So it's kind of surreal and weird and sad. But Kara gets the courage to say something, you know, to speak to her. And she smiles at her and looks at her. And then all of a sudden hits the mom. She's like, Kara? She's like, yeah. And, you know, she's just like, yeah, I'm your daughter, you know. And you could tell that Kara's upset because she's just like, you know, where have you been, you know? Why'd you leave? And, you know, the mother is kind of like speechless. She doesn't know what to say, but she's like, I've been thinking about you every day. And, you know, Kara's basically like, you know, you got a funny way of showing it. So that, you know, that conversation's not going well. And then a young girl runs up to the bench. She's like, Mom. She's like, yes, honey. And then that's when Kara realizes that her mother has another daughter that she's raising. Kara sees that and just runs off crying. And their mom's like, Kara. And she runs past Miles and she runs into the street and she gets hit by a car. So that's traumatic because you're like, well, what's going to happen to Kara? So now here's the cool part. She's in Miller Street, hit by a car. Guess who's getting out of a cab? John Dove, the guy that Miles saved earlier from the subway train. And Miles is like, hey, it's you, John Dove. He goes, yeah. He goes, you're the guy from the subway. He goes, yeah. He goes, I need a doctor. John's like, I am a doctor. So John helps, gets Kara to the hospital. He attends to her, makes sure she's okay, gets her to the hospital. And Miles is like, thank you. And John tells Miles, he's like, you know what? I was really in a bad way, and I was thinking about ending my life, and I realized I don't want to end my life. I didn't even know if I wanted to practice medicine anymore. But today, helping her and you, you helped change things for me, so thank you. And Miles is like, you're welcome, and thank you for, you know, helping Kara. So it was a meaningful connection, a meaningful moment. So Kara's in the hospital. She's okay. And, you know, Miles is talking to her. And then, you know, the mother comes in. And Kara looks at Miles. She's like, yeah, I called her. And they talk. And, you know, so it's not easy, but they talk. So, you know, the healing's beginning. So Miles realizes that that friend request for Kara was legitimate. Same with John Dove. He still doesn't believe in God, but he's glad that he helped these people. So now, mind you, when he told Kara what was going on with the whole God request and showed her face on his phone, well, she's like, I tell you what, I want to be in on the story with you. Let's see what's going on. You know, I want to find out because I'm intrigued. So they kind of become like little partners in crime trying to figure this whole thing out. She had no idea that she was going to be a part of what's going on. So, you know, eventually she tells Miles that, hey, you know, thanks for your help and your encouragement. And if you want, I'd love to help you figure out the whole God request thing. She's like, okay, cool. So she's like, just give me a call. And she gives him that kind of smile where it's almost kind of like she's flirting. But, you know, Miles looks kind of like he's clueless about it. like we guys can be sometimes. We can be totally clueless. Like, because I can already tell that she's digging him. He's slowing it. He's slowing the uptake, but it's cool. That'll play itself out later on this in the show, I'm sure. So the most recent episode, the second episode, was pretty good. So the episode ended with the new friend request. So Miles gets a new friend request. And and he was on the verge of getting his material ready for his podcast presentation for a new network. And what happened was that because he was ignoring God's friend request, the system went down. So he lost all the information for the podcast request. I mean, for the podcast presentation. So that's when he's just like, what's going on? This never happens. Electrical difficulties. So at the end of the first episode, he gets a new friend request for a person named Katie, who's played by Lynn Gardner, who is Charlie on Queen Sugar. And she's great on that show. And it's good to see her doing something else, pop up somewhere else. I'm a fan. This past season, the Queen Sugar was really, she really shined on it. She was really good. Have I talked about Queen Sugar with you guys? I'm going to have to. I don't think I have. So we'll that'll be one of the future episodes too. That's a show on the OWN network. So the next episode, which I just saw, was pretty good. Katie's the new friend request. Miles is kind of blowing it off because he's trying to focus on getting this podcast deal. And he has an interview finally with the podcast network executive. And the guy's asking, he's like, so I heard your podcast. So what's going on with this whole God thing? He goes, is that a thing for you? And Miles doesn't know how to quite take that question. He doesn't know if he's supposed to say yes or no. And then he goes, oh, no, it's not. He goes, well, good, because I want you to get rid of that. I want this to be a godless podcast. We don't want to bring God into this at all. And Miles is like, okay, sure. That's fine with me. Because Miles is just so hungry and desperate to get that big podcast break. So once he agrees to that with the network executive who's interviewing him, his God changes his Facebook page profile to dark stormy clouds and thunder, and it starts raining. Why is at the studio? So Miles is like, nah. But yeah, if you're watching, you're like, yeah. So Miles has been blowing. He's been blowing off the friend request from God for Katie. He sees her face. He's like, whatever. I'll get to that later. It keeps popping up. And then he winds up having lunch with Kara, with Kara Bloom. And then this woman comes in running late, and she's a waitress, and it's Katie. So, and then the boss is kind of yelling at her, so Miles sticks up for her. He's like, don't yell at her like that. You're making a scene in front of all these people. And the guy he's talking to is the owner. He's like, you know what? You're right. You're fired. So he fires her. She's upset with Miles. She's like, thanks for nothing. Runs out. Miles made things worse. Didn't know what to do. Then you find out that she's a single mom. She has a son who has who's on the spectrum. And it's just interesting because when Miles has Rakesh track down where she's at. He goes to her apartment door and she's like, hello. He goes, oh, I met you earlier today. I'm the one who got you fired. I'm so sorry. And she's like, how'd you get my information? And he says something about it. And she goes, that's strange. He goes, I'm very, very sorry. There's some other jobs you might want to look for. I found some stuff here on the phone. She goes, okay, well, you do seem genuine and sincere. Weird, but thank you. But no thanks, I'm good. Closes the door on him. And as he's leaving, she gets a phone call because she's trying to get to another job, but she doesn't have a sitter. So, you know, of course she tracks down Miles because she's desperate. And they wind up walking to this restaurant where she applies for a job. So, and I'll just leave you with that episode. It's a good episode. I'm enjoying the show. When I first saw the trailer for this or the previews for it on TV, I didn't know what to think. All I knew is that I like Brandon Michael Hall on The Mayor. You know, this hip hop artist who became the mayor of his small town. I thought that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that show, but it just didn't last. But like I said, I'm glad he got picked up on this show. It's good. It's different. And I can't wait to see who's his next friend request is going to be. And it's just, you know, you just think about it. It would be kind of cool if a guy had social media, you know, if he had his own Facebook page, like what would be on it? Who'd be his friends? You know what I'm saying? Just really cool. But yeah. And I like the dynamic that Miles is this guy who doesn't have faith. He doesn't believe. And, you know, and that happens too sometimes. If you're the son or daughter of a priest or a reverend, you might go the exact opposite to rebel. So is Miles rebelling? Is there something deeply serious? Is there a deep reason why he doesn't believe? Did he believe at one point and stop believing? You have to watch the show to find out. There's definitely history there. Is his father? Is he a really cool guy? Is he someone who's overbearing, or is he like a really cool reverend that you like to meet? You know, what's the family dynamic? You know, is he like overbearing, and is that why him and Miles are estranged, or is that not the case at all? Is there just miscommunication? Is there misconception? What is it? And, you know, will Miles ever get his podcast picked up from a major company, you know, and will they let him be him when he does it? Because people like to control you, make you do other things sometimes when you get picked up from a bigger business or company. And will Kara stick around? So basically, Miles helped Kara reconcile with her mom, and it got her to writing again. So that was cool because, you know, it was kind of looking kind of bare bones for her at work. So Miles has become an agent of change in a good way, a positive force for people without even trying. So it's interesting to see someone who's an atheist helping people or putting them in the light where they're helping people, and it's done through like a spiritual or religious way. The contrast is very cool. It's a good show. I like it. It's on CBS. You should check it out. God Friended Me. It's two episodes in. Like I said, I can't wait to see who's gonna friend request next, and I can't wait to see what's gonna happen with him. Will he ever get faith? And you know, I mean, what's gonna happen? You know, will he and his father rebuild their relationship? Is Kara gonna be his girlfriend, or is he gonna meet somebody through the God request? You know, what's going on? And then Rakesh, his friend, has a girlfriend too, and he's kind of insecure about that. It's all very fascinating. Well, good people of the planet Earth and the known universe, you've been listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This is your Captain Keith. Thank you for tuning in. I had a good time. Hope you did. It's so good to be back. I missed you guys. Thanks again. I appreciate you all. And until next time, I'll see you somewhere out in space.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.